Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Real football today.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
We don't let up. We don't let up.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Under center goes Mario. Center goes Buda. Boy, this is where you hope 8-5 can pay big numbers. High to the weak side. They'll hand to Patterson. Cordero banging to the goal line. Crosses. Touchdown, Atlanta.
When you look at what teams make the playoffs and who doesn't, and there's a few statistics that come out, right? The turnover margin everybody talks about. You got third down conversions, and then you got red zone, and it's the four-point swing. Your ability to score touchdowns if they kick field goals. Or more importantly, get points at all down there. It's not overemphasized because it's been emphasized. But we have to do a better job as coaches, right, is making sure we got put the guys in the best position, and obviously players go and execute. We just have to make sure that we stay on top of that and execute at a high level.
That was Falcons offensive coordinator Dave Ragone bringing us in, as well as Falcons Radio Network back in the Kia studios with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery, hanging out with you for another hour as we get you ready for Falcons pregame action coming up at 2 o'clock today as the Falcons are in Los Angeles to take on the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams. 4 o'clock will be the kickoff. Dave Archer, West Durham will have the call for all of that. By the way, 404-741-0929 is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. He is at Big Hugh 53. I am at JMCH316. The station is at 929 The Game. Hugh, couple of quick injury things. You saw that the Falcons placed Damian Williams after he got hurt last week. Only 2 carries. He was there on the sidelines late in the game, and people kind of wondered about whether or not he'd come back in or this, any other. But rib injuries, and, you know, people just thought he kind of got the wind knocked out of him on that play, but it was enough to keep him out. And then obviously he's headed to IR now. So most likely we will get the debut of the Falcons' 5th-round rookie draft pick, Tyler Allgeier, out of BYU, and most likely he'll get a chance to get some carries today.
Yeah, he has to. I think that, you know, when we talked to Coach Ragone and he was talking about Cordero Patterson, he never said that he was on a pitch count. But during that conversation, it led me to believe that he kind of was. You know, Cordero Patterson, he runs like a running
back. Like he's Earl Campbell.
Yeah, he runs like a running
back.
Yeah. But he's not. And I got a chance, shout out to the person that sent me the video, to hear. Like, I'm assuming that they had him mic'd up, and it was one of those things that when you heard the actual conversation that he had that you actually couldn't put on air because it was really, really colorful.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way that he talks trash when he runs the ball. I love that. But being realistic, that is not his what he does. He carried the ball a lot last week. We have to figure out a healthy medium for him to be able to sustain the way that he's playing football for the whole season.
So let me ask you the question. Last year, he had 153 carries, which was far and away his career high. In fact, he had as many carries last year as he did for the entirety of his career up to that point. What do you think is a realistic number of rushing attempts? Because I've been talking about this for 6 months now about, okay, I'm glad we brought Patterson back and this, that, and the other, and I know we want to become a power running team, but he's not set up to be a 300-carry running back. Since the year 2000, I brought this step to that. Since the year 2000, Hugh, only 3 running backs 31 years or older had 300 carries or more in a season. Thomas Jones, Curtis Martin, And oh God, who was the other one that was on the I can't remember now. There were three running backs. It was Thomas Jones, it was Curtis Martin, Thomas Jones, and there was one other running back. But my point is, before that, you got to go back to John Riggins, Walter Payton.
You're talking about guys that carried the ball a lot.
Right. But at 31 years old,
that's a lot of carries.
You only have three guys in the last 22 years that had even as many as 300 carries in a season. He's on pace for 374 as Cordarrelle Patterson. What do you think a realistic number of carries for Patterson is? Can he be 250?
You know what? So that's a hard question to answer because
but I'm putting you on the spot.
Because this is the thing, Chuck. If I'm just gonna say, if I was coaching this team last year, what he had 22 carries last week.
Yes,
he'd have had 35 if I was a coach, because especially in that the late part of the game, I'd have walked up to him and say, "Listen, Cordero, I need you, bro. I need you to carry the ball a little bit more." And that would have been the case. So he'd have been on if I was a coach, he'd been on pace for 400 carries. But the reason why I say that's a hard question to answer because I need to know what Tyler Allgeier brings to the table.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because what do you think is real? Do you think 18 to 20 carries for Patterson
a game
and 8 to 10 today for Tyler Allgeier? If I told you 18 to 20 for Patterson, 8 to 10 for Allgeier.
18 to 20, and you say, so that's
8
like
to 10.
What? 8 to 10.
So 30, 40 carries somewhere around.
Talking about 30, 40 rushing attempts a game.
Yes.
That sounds about, to be honest, Chuck, I would probably be a little bit higher. Probably be like 45.
I told you
attempts.
In the break, I was surprised that Mariota had 33 pass attempts in that game.
See, so now we're cooking with gas. Now we're talking about something. I am not. Especially going into this game, I am not comfortable with Marcus Mariota being in a position to have to win the game with his arm. Not just yet. And I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like watching that game last week, that was one of the issues that we had. It was when we went away from the running game and we asked Marcus Mariota to make some plays with his arm. That's when we got into trouble. That's how I honestly feel. Because when you look at it from my Barkin Lounger, when the game started to go sideways is when you started to ask him to roll out of the pocket and deliver the football. That cannot happen this week. I think in order to be in this game, we have to establish the same kind of philosophy that we had last week. Run the ball, pound them, let our defense play, and keep pounding the rock. That's why I said I need to know or I need to find out what I have in Tyler Allgeier this week. I need to put a little bit more on his plate. And I need to sprinkle a lot more Cordarrelle Patterson in there if I have to. Now, I understand Cordarrelle Patterson is 31 years old, and he's a lot older, and you want to try to keep him as fresh as you possibly can. But gosh darn it, I'm trying to win a football game.
I was trying to look up the number, but I believe I am right on this when I saw this. I think the Falcons had the second most designed quarterback run plays in the league last week. I think Mariota had the second most – the Falcons offense had the second most designed run plays last week. Do you just have to use Mariota's legs until you break him apart and just roll the dice on that? Or do you have to play the long game with Mariota?
Are you asking me should he carry the ball in rushing attempts?
I mean, he got –
72 yards.
But last week it was the second most designed quarterback runs in the league. I don't know how sustainable that is either for this team.
Here's the thing. He's a bit of a China doll. 12 attempts for me and my quarterback running the ball, I would probably cut that in half. No, I would definitely cut that in half.
Yeah, I mean, nobody for the Saints had that many rushing attempts. The Saints only ran the ball 19 times last week. Patterson or Mariota by himself had 12 rushing attempts.
Yeah, I would cut that. I would definitely cut that in half. That's why I think it's important to see what we got in Tyler Allgeier. Mm-hmm. I really do.
He's
built for this. We need to, even if it's between the tackle runs, the tough sledding. You know what? The one thing that I remember about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Jerome Bettis was the fact that If you're if, like when you commit to the run, you have to be fully committed to the run. That's during good times and bad times. Like I remember playing the Pittsburgh Steelers when in the first half, the Detroit Lions too, in the first half, you might look at the stat sheet and it might be negative 20 yards carrying.
They didn't care though.
Because you know what's happening in the second half?
Right, the attempt. That's when, right. I mean, I've told you before, Bill Parcells always said the number one thing that he looked at on the stat sheet when the number one offensive stat he looked at the end of the game on the stat sheet was how many rushing attempts did we have? How many times did we
try to run the ball?
And he would talk about, you know, 4-minute offense, 6-minute offense. You have to be committed to the run
when you
have the lead and you have 4 minutes. You have to be willing to commit your everything.
Regardless to what
now,
happens.
I know it's a different league, though, Hugh. It's a different league.
And it's a passing league.
It's a league of throwing the ball
but
everywhere.
But guess what, Chuck? When it comes December, January, guess where those stats get a little skewed? In December, January, because you've got to run the ball.
Right.
Like, this is still – like, everybody likes the fact that in the beginning of the season damn the torpedoes. Everybody's throwing the ball over the schoolyard. But when it's time to when the rubber hits the road, you have to be able to run the ball. That's why the Falcons last week had so much success early in that game, because they damned the torpedoes. They put the Saints in a position where they had to throw the football. And that's when the defense was able to get after them. That's the philosophy that you have to have this week if you want to beat the Rams. You got to stop their run. Because let me tell you what's going to happen this week. Rams going to come out. And they're going to try to establish the run early. They know they can throw the football. That's not what they want to do, especially when you got a quarterback.
Well, they don't know if they can protect their quarterback because they've got multiple new offensive linemen that
they're
breaking in
this week.
That's
why you want to try to throw the football. You've got to run the football. Because if you run the football, and if you run the football successfully, it opens up your offense. And what I mean by that is this. If you're running a football and I have to commit an extra man to the run, if I have to commit one of the safeties to the run, that's 8 men in a box. Now that gives you an opportunity on the back end to make some plays because you got that guy committed to the run. If I can do that, then, you know, we got a shot. But if the Falcons can play them hard and play them tough and keep that guy, that safety in the back, and beat them up with the front seven, then and let them throw the ball, it's a little bit tougher to do. But you got to stop the run. You have to stop the run.
And this is the thing, Hugh, to your point about all that. This is why I talk about sacks so much, about getting the quarterback on the ground to sack. In the NFL, if you can change down and distance in the NFL, and look, the playbook on 3rd and 3 or 4 is vastly more diverse than your playbook on 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. And if you can create blown up plays in the backfield, quarterback sacks, you change up the dynamic of the game for what an offense wants to do, has to do. I mean, if I can make it 3rd and 14, you know, I know what's coming, and I can take my horses and I can go after that quarterback and I can go kill him. And that's what the Falcons did those first 3 quarters, is we could keep coming after him. If I can get some success putting pressure on, slow the run game down, sack the quarterback, then I can get after him and make his life tough.
Yes.
Now, I think they took their foot off the gas a little bit in the fourth, even though I know some of the metrics say that they didn't. But it felt like when they went to that cover zone that they weren't as aggressive toward Mariota as what they were early
in
the game.
I look at it like this, and I've had a chance to kind of, you know, you sit back and you reflect on the game a little bit. I think the defense felt like they took their foot off the gas pedal because the offense wasn't as productive as it was in the first half. You just said there was a lot of miscues in the second half for that offense and some of the things that they were trying to do and didn't do. And so defensively, I think that, you know, even though, you know, you felt like you were being aggressive, you couldn't be because you were kind of worried about the fact that the offense wasn't doing what they were doing in the first half.
Hey, coming up during today's game, we have the Ticketmaster Halftime Report brought to you by Ticketmaster, official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. We will talk about the keys to victory today. Hugh Douglas, John Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios till 2 o'clock. We'll hand it off to Falcons pregame coverage at that point. This is the Wait For It Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Radio on the weekends.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He can certainly play quarterback from the pocket, be able to read and progress, but they're also taking advantage of his athleticism, whether that's him being activated as a runner, some of the RPOs, the boot game, some of the play actions. And so his ability to be able to put pressure on you with some of the on schedule, but also off schedule, whether it's beating you with his arm or his legs. And, he's a guy that I thought he played really well last week. I thought he, played really well throughout the preseason, and, a guy that I have tremendous respect for.
You know, they run an interesting style of offense. They have pretty much every running style in each of their personnel. So, you got to be conscious of the personnel because you got, receivers that, do really, really well at running back. You got guys moving all across the board. So I think, the biggest thing is, paying attention to that read option, the RPOs, the things of that nature that they're going to bring. Everybody being conscious and focused of that because – if you pay too much attention to the run, that's when they throw the ball, and too much attention to the pass is when, the run sneaks into you. So, just got to be locked in on your job. Make sure you take care of your assignment each and every play. This is going to be a game that we got to be really disciplined.
Rams linebacker Bobby Wagner bringing us back. Rams head coach Sean McVay before that. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Tailgate Show is brought to you by the W Sauce. The original sauce of our tailgate, bigger, better, bolder. Visit the WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. We will talk to the man that makes all of this happen, Steve Ewing, coming up in 20 minutes from right now. Hugh, we obviously get you ready. Top of the hour, we'll get to Rams and Falcons pregame coverage. 4 o'clock kick today, Rams and Falcons as they are in L.A. To take on the defending Super Bowl champions. So where would you put Sean McVay among the top coaches in the NFL?
I'd probably say in the top 10, maybe in the top 5.
Okay.
He just won a Super Bowl, so yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the hot young coach, right, in the league.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, for what he came in and did, the Rams went out making a bold move to get the quarterback from Detroit, Stafford. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where, yeah, I give him top five, top 10, top five.
All right, let's put you on the spot again. You were a hater last week. Put you on the spot. Oh man, you put me on the spot.
Wait.
Rams gave up 7 sacks in week 1, and they've got positional changes on their offensive line. So Hugh Douglas, Falcons today, over or under 2.5 sacks?
I'm gonna say under 2.5.
Wow, man.
No, listen. It worked well for me last week. I'm using Fricky's philosophy as far as
is that what it is? If you put the fanoinks on it,
yeah, I'm gonna put the I put the fanoink. I'm doing the fanoinking.
Well, the other word I wanted to teach you today is because obviously in looking at the game last week, one of the things that stood out to me was that when you take away all of the vagabonds that the Falcons had, the Jalen Mayfields, the Matt Hennessys, the Stephen Means, the Dante Fowlers, it's amazing how much better their offensive line and defensive line can play with just anybody who's competent. And I don't need the guys to be all pros and Pro Bowl and all this other stuff. But when you have literally some of the worst offensive and defensive linemen in the entirety of the NFL, if you can't be good at your line of scrimmage, I don't care how good you think you are at other places, it's not going to matter in trying to keep a game close and trying to win. You better be great at the line of scrimmage, and that's what the Falcons were last week.
Yeah, but I think part of that, Chuck, is the fact that you were able to establish the run early. Like, when you establish – like, I know people are probably in the crowd like, damn, you're really harping on the run. Do you know how effective a good running game is for a quarterback or offensive line, period? Especially when you're running the ball at will, you're getting big chunk yards at will. That opens up your whole playbook. Now, to the flip side of that, last year when we weren't able to establish the run, you saw how inept the offensive line looked. You saw how, you know, tough it was to score, because now as a defender, I'm just teeing off on you every play.
Do you think they would have played as well on their offensive line if you had Jalen Mayfield and Matt Hennessy standing side by side last week?
That remains to be seen.
No, I'll tell you.
I think that remains to be seen. I think if they –
I'm going to dispute you.
Well, obviously for those guys not to be on the field, Chuck, I'm not saying that they would have. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying obviously those guys weren't on the field, so they weren't picking up what Coach Smith was putting down. I mean, they've made that obvious. I mean, one of the things that when I read between the lines and I hear these coaches talk – the one thing that I've gathered from all of this in the last couple of weeks, if you don't know what you're out there, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, you're not going to be on the field. So that's obvious to me that is one of the things that they did not know what to do, especially in certain situations. But you can ask anybody that's ever played offensive line. If you're out there, they would rather be out there run blocking.
Yes, no doubt.
Than pass blocking all day.
No doubt.
You get to be the role grader. And then not only that, as a defender, if you're having success and you're gashing me with the run, guess what I'm doing in third and questionable situation. What I mean by questionable, whether it could, like, you're in a position where you could still run the ball or you could throw the ball.
Yeah, like I said, third and that's why sacking the quarterback changes your because down in distance in the NFL.
Yes. So if you show me run fits, if you fire ball, my instinct is to play style and try to stop the run, because it's been happening all day. And then when you see somebody leak out or whatever, and they go for a rollout and they throw the ball over your head, now you're in a position where you're confused. You don't know what they're going to do. That just makes it tough.
There were many times when third and three for this team meant shotgun, empty backfield, 5 wide.
And
because you couldn't run the football. Yeah. And to your point, you could tee off on the quarterback at that point. Now, if you're Lorenzo Carter, Ebba Cady, Ogundeji, are you licking your chops today knowing that the Bills got 7 sacks against this Rams offensive line last week?
I am, because I'm looking at it like this. How did that happen? Where in the schemes, this copycat league, where in the formation did I see where this pass protection broke down? Who was that diamond girl? So I'm looking across the line, and I'm assuming that, you know, Coach Pease is looking and going to put his guys in position to be successful. Wherever the breakdown is on that offensive line, if it's the guard, the center, or the tackle, I need to make sure that my guy has that guy one-on-one. because I think that's what you do. You want to make sure that you try to isolate that weak link as much as you possibly can. And if that means bringing up a linebacker or putting someone on the line of scrimmage and making sure that everybody has a one-on-one block, that's what you do. But this is the key. Somebody has to beat their one-on-one today, because they're probably going to go max protect. They're probably going to try to do that. Somebody has to beat their one-on-one. Whoever is that guy, there needs to be emphasis like, dog, you got to get home. If you get home early and often, then that changes the way that they're blocking. Has to. That means that if it's one of those things where if they can't protect the quarterback, then guess what? You're going to see a lot of screens. You're going to see a lot of quick throws and things like that. There's the opportunity to make plays and get pick sixes and things of that nature because you can't protect him. So that's what you want to do. You want to keep that theme going. You do not want them to be able to establish the run today. You want to get after that. You want to get after the quarterback, and you want to make him make bad decisions. That's what you want to do. You want to put them in a position where he has to throw the ball a lot. And you know what they always say? Three things can happen when you throw the ball, and two of them are bad.
Yeah,
make sure you make it bad. Yeah,
Woody Hayes saying, yeah. Three things can happen, and two are bad when you put the ball in the air. So offensively, speaking of putting the ball in the air, one of the things I think that has to happen, obviously, the Falcons are trying to get better and trying to be better in the red zone. But we were also sold on the idea, Hugh, that, well, you know, we've got Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that's going to be a red zone matchup. And then we had zero targets for those two guys in the red zone. In fact, Drake London and Kyle Pitts only caught two passes on the New Orleans side of the football field. They did target Kyle Pitts twice at the 25-yard line, but no targets in the red zone. How do you change that up? Because, again, this is two top 10 draft picks for your franchise. How do you get them going in the red zone and try to change up that dynamic?
That's a good question, Chuck, because I'm like I told you earlier, I am not comfortable with the ball being thrown in the air with Marcus Mariota being the trigger puller. So I'm thinking maybe some reverses, maybe some tomfoolery down there in the red zone.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of those places like – people don't – I know you understand this, but do you know the closer that you get to the red zone, the harder it is, extremely hard to make plays.
Yeah.
And especially
because the defense doesn't have to worry about getting beat deep or anything like that. So
and it's also hard to make plays when you don't have that established thumper, like that can threaten to run the ball if you don't have enough people in the box playing that position. I think it starts there. You have to be a legitimate threat in the run game in order to have success trying to throw the ball down there. But until that happens, it's going to be some issues in the red zone. I think there's a direct correlation between the fact that the Falcons have had red zone issues and the fact that they can't run the football well.
I agree with you. I definitely think there's part of that. But you also can't sell me on why we passed up on Penei Sewell and Micah Parsons to draft pass catcher and in two top 10
picks. And then
you
can't put him in the
position. Right, and then you can't find a way with a very offensive-minded head coach that we can't get more creative of how to get the – even if he doesn't catch it, you got to target. You got to call some plays that go their way.
I will give you that as far as the creativity is concerned. And there are some plays because you see this has been a staple in the Kansas City Chiefs offense, especially in the red zone for years. Remember that little play that they run with Patrick Mahomes drop back? Looks like it's a pass, and then all of a sudden he flicks it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To
a little Kelsey. Shovel.
Yeah,
pass.
Like
yeah.
A little shovel. Mm-hmm. Maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe okay. Something like that works because now you get the defense running up the field. You get them overcommitting to that, and then that tight end just sneaks in underneath and runs it in. Like I said, the reverse, something like that, or maybe you the quarterback sneak a work, or the quarterback roll him out and try to punch it in, but. Until we establish the run consistently, I think that's going to be an issue.
And I think Tyler Algier can help that down deep today because he is a physical between the tackles running back, scored a crap ton of touchdowns at BYU, picked up a ton of yards after first contact. So he's a guy that it feels like if you get down deep, I'd like to see him get some touches down deep. If we're down deep in the red zone, let me see Tyler Algier get, because that's kind of what his playing profile was, you know, at BYU. But look, to be good in the red zone, you have to be able to do a lot of different things, right? More than just line up in the eye and run it at people and things like that. You are going to have to throw it at times like that. This is where I need Arthur Smith to get creative and find ways to get the ball in multiples of guys. Look, in 16 when we were going to the Super Bowl, remember how many different players caught touchdown passes from Matt that year? It was like 13 or 14 guys. That's where you have to get creative and find ways to get guys, different guys, the ball.
Yeah, I think that we have a little bit of that because when you look at the stat sheet from last week, you had multiple guys catching passes from Marcus Mariota. But the unfortunate thing, you didn't have anybody punching it in. You know, when once all this comes together, and I think part of that happens when, you know, you have some confidence in the quarterback throwing the ball. And I'm like I said earlier, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not there yet. I'm not confident with him throwing the ball around the schoolyard just yet.
Now, we can
get to that. But I think you have to do in early in the season, you have to be able to do what you had success doing in the first half, well, the first game of the season. And that's establishing that run and keeping your foot on the gas pedal. Never let the run, to me, you should never let the run be an afterthought regardless to whatever the score is. It should never be an afterthought. The run should always be in the forefront of your mind whenever you decide to call whatever play you're calling, because that is your bread and butter to me right now. That is what's paying huge dividends for you right now.
The other matchup that I think is interesting is Tyler Higbee, the tight end for the Rams. 5 catches, 11 targets in week one. Michael Walker, Jalen Hawkins, Richie Grant. You know, how do we match up and slow down their tight end? Because besides just Cooper Kupp, Higbee had a pretty good game for them. I think they're going to try to get Allen Robinson going today. I think that's going to be one of the guys to really watch for the Rams offense, is they want to get Allen Robinson going today.
They're going to do something. They're definitely going to do something.
Yeah, paid him a lot of money to just not be a decoy. So when we get back, the man that makes all of this happen, Steve Ewing, will join us. Of course, the president and CEO of Wade Ford. That's next. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery in the Key Studios. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On the weekend.
The whole weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we.
The weekend.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go, go, go!
Time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Live in the Kia Studios on this Sunday. We head to the top of the hour. Falcons pregame coverage coming up after that. It will be Chris Goforth and Harper LaBelle getting you ready for Falcons football. 4 o'clock kick today. Falcons in Los Angeles to take on the Rams, and then they'll literally head right up to Seattle and spend the week out there as they'll get ready for the Seahawks. Back-to-back weeks before coming home to play the Cleveland Browns. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. The man that makes everything happen around here, Steve Ewing, the president and CEO, as you heard, of Wade Ford, joins us. And Steve, man, I'm already missing what was a great week of tailgating and great food last week.
Yes.
I'm already having withdrawal symptoms of not being down there this week.
Steve!
Hey, I look forward to both of them. First of all, how are my two favorite sportscasters
man,
in the world?
We're great, man.
Hey, Steve, I just want to apologize for texting you early in the morning, man.
I was on the West Coast. The problem is I was on the Ford meeting. We had big meetings last week about Ford and all the electrification and all the new things that are coming. So they had all the dealers from across the country in a little town called Las Vegas. So
things get a little late there sometimes.
I know they do, Steve, but you know how I do, man. I'm reading these publications and everything, and whenever I see anything forward, you got to – I apologize because when I saw
it – I got a text that just said Steve.
No.
I owe you a call back.
No.
Hey, listen, guys. Go ahead. Tell me what happened.
You know what? We're talking football today. You know, because I could talk cars with you all day long, but I'm gonna digress today. I'm gonna leave it alone because we're gonna talk football. I know you want to talk football, so I'm gonna leave it alone.
I do want to talk football, but cars are where I want to talk about. But let's just go real quick. I want to go first backwards because I got to go backwards because when I left that stadium a little bit before the end of the game, I just felt that I had the football game put away. But you can never have that. But the way I heard that some of the New Orleans fans acted in our building is one of those things that we talked about last week. It says about respect. And it made a lot of sense to you after what you said. What did you say about respect?
You got to earn that respect. You got to make them respect you. You have to make them
respect
you.
You got to make somebody respect you.
Yes.
They're not going to respect you until you do what?
You make them respect you.
That's right. So we did not make them respect us and that we got what we deserved. Anyway, let's talk about this game today because I'm really excited about the world champions and us having a chance to recover and redeem ourselves. The Rams' offensive line is so questionable. I think today Grady Jarrett is going to have another big day. What do you guys think about that?
Listen, Steve, I've been saying all week, man, and I know like a lot of people think that I'm crazy, but the Rams can be had. The Rams can be had. You're talking about a team that had 18 carries last week for 52 yards. That average was like 2.9 yards a carry. They're going to try to establish the run today. They're going to try to establish the run. You need to keep that trend going with them not being able to run the football and get after them. I'm right there with you. And when they do try to throw the football, Grady Jarrett and everybody needs to be all over them because that offensive line that they have is atrocious. It's atrocious. So they can be had, Steve. They can definitely be had.
Hey, John, listen. We only allowed one sack. Our O-line played better than they played in a long time. So tell me what you think Mariota needs to do today to win this game for us.
Well, I think one is you can't fumble the football and turn it over. That's the number one thing is you can't turn a football over to good football teams. I know the Rams lost last week, but they are the defending Super Bowl champions. So you can't turn the football over to them. And I think you have to keep your identity. Look, Steve, in the NFL, right, if you can win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, you're in every game. Now, doesn't mean you win every game. You have to have some other things that you have to do. But if you can control the line of scrimmage, you have a shot. Because if you can block up front and you can make havoc on the defensive side of the football, you'll be in it. And I think the game plan last week was terrific. It's just I want to see that for four quarters. And if they do that today, they might come out of there with a victory.
Well, I'm hoping for a victory, and I believe it. I believe it can happen. They had seven sacks on Stafford last week, the Bills had. So if you think seven, okay, so if you think that we cannot get through that line, I also want to ask you guys your opinion about the young man that catches balls everywhere, Cooper Kupp. Tell me about this guy and what we need to do to control him.
I think Cooper Kupp's a good player, no question about that. I think in order to stop Coop, got to get after the quarterback. He's phenomenal, man, as far as being able to get open and how hard he's worked and things of that nature. He's a little bit, to me, like a Wes Welker type. That's what he is. He works hard. He's not going to call him an overachiever, Steve, because he's a pretty good player. And he was real big for them last year. But if you put pressure on that quarterback and make it so that you can't get him the football, there's a shot there. But, you know, I can say that about any quarterback receiver. Hook up. If you can put pressure on that guy and make him throw the ball when he doesn't want to, there's some plays that can be made.
Yeah, Steve, somebody said to me this week that Cooper Kupp's best attribute is he knows how to get open. He knows how to get himself open and allow his quarterback to make a play to him. And then once that happens, you see what happens, you know, from there. He's a tremendous player. And, you know, to Hugh's point, I said the same thing. Wes Welker is a guy. You know, he can maybe get, you know, further downfield than Wes Welker, but Wes Welker always knew how to get open for Tom Brady, you know, always find a way to always be open, and that's what he does.
I think if I can get Mariota to give me 60, 70 yards of running, Cordell give me 100 yards, we're winning, walking out of there with a big win. What do you think?
Yeah, and we'll see Tyler Algier hopefully today gets a shot, you know, with Damian Williams headed to IR. We expect Algier will be active, obviously, this week and want to see him get some carries. Steve, I really hope Tyler Algier finds a way to get 8 or 10 carries today and let me start to get some evaluation of him. And hopefully, you know, maybe some runs down deep in the red zone where he can utilize that ability to, you know, he's got a nose for the end zone, and that was his big attribute in college, is getting touchdowns. I'd like to see that happen because we got to be better in the red zone, Steve. That's one thing that this team has to improve on is getting back to being better in the red zone, not just settling for field goals.
Yeah, that's been something we've been working on for the last 2 years. Listen, guys, I will tell you this, that, you know, the West Coast and going out to the West Coast, and I was out there, but I said I had to – my wife said, get home. I was on my way to that game. And she said, you know, being in Vegas, and we came back and went to Delaware State, my Hall of Fame event, Hugh, and we inducted some new guys.
All right.
So I feel real good going to my HBCU. But I just want to say this to you guys. Listen, this is going to be a long season. My expectations are unrealistic for this football team, but I'm still going to believe. And I believe when I say unrealistic, as of right now, after last weekend's loss and that game that was winnable, you got to win those games. You can't give up a lead. And when we do that, I walked into a lady that was walking around with a T-shirt that had the halftime, a New Orleans fan that had the halftime score of our Super Bowl loss to the New Orleans Saints on her T-shirt, walking around our building. And I glanced at it and I kept walking by her. And then after the game was over, I said, here we are again. We were up and we lost the lead. And that's not what you do. That's not what you do. You have to be able to maintain your team's the entire game, maintain a winning approach. You can't get comfortable ever. I can't get comfortable in business. If I get comfortable in business, my business will go away. I have to make sure that every customer that comes in to wait for it is treated as if it was the first one we've ever sold. And if we do that, we will win. And the same goes for these players out here. So I think that every day we all go to work to be the best we can. And that should be the goal. And if you're not listening to us and that's not your goal, that's a problem. I had a person work for me once and they said, my mom and dad told me never do nothing extra. And I sat there and looked at this young lady, and she said, well, I was raised never to do anything. Just do what you guys pay me for. Mm. She lasted probably another week until we found a replacement. But that was not the winning attitude that I wanted on my team.
Well, listen, Steve, I had to exhale for a second, Steve, because I was like, when you said you saw her again, I thought you were going to say like he shoulder tackled her or something like that. I was like, okay. I hope the story's not going to go sideways.
No. The story will go sideways. I wouldn't put my hands on anybody.
Did you see, by the way, that New Orleans was selling 26-10 cakes all week last week?
That was terrible.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Awful. Wow. No, I didn't see that. But let me say this to you guys. Listen, I know we're not together next week. We'll be on the radio again. But I promise you, this next tailgate coming out, I'm going to do something special. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to shock you guys with something really good.
Okay.
So, listen, come back out. All the fans cheering this Falcon team this afternoon. This is a big, big game for us playing the world champions, and I think we can win. Let's go.
Thank you, Steve. As always, the man who makes it happen, Steve Ewing from Wade Ford. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and make some predictions and then get ready for Falcons pregame coverage. Chris Goforth, Harper LaBelle at the top of the hour. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.